This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Is it this? I think
Mr. Lurie and I talked.
I think this is. Oh, I think someone got called.
Oh, this was today?
I think someone got called to the principal's office. Hang on a second. Look at this. Look at this hostage video. Hang on. This is Nick Sirianni today. Have not heard this. Don't know what's here. Oh, but for those listening on the radio, this dude looks. He is being held hostage right here. I can't wait.
Mr. Lurie and I talk every time after the game. Every time I haven't talked to him yet today. I know how supportive Mr. Lurie has been through everything. I would say this about that. You know what I was really doing. I was trying to bring energy yesterday, energy, enthusiasm yesterday, and I'm sorry and disappointed on how my energy was directed at the end of the game. And you know, my energy should be all in on coaching, motivating, right, and celebrating with our guys. And so, you know, that's, you know, and I got to have better wisdom and discernment of when to use that energy. And that wasn't the time. And so, you know, we have the best fans in the world. There's no place like this. And they show up and show out no matter where they are and where we are. I can't.
What does it look like? He's reading a cue card.
Arizona, it doesn't matter. New Orleans, and you know, in that game too, that they had two. You know, it was loud, and I thought it was really loud, energetic, and those two false starts that the
so
Browns
bad.
Got that forced a field goal instead of that. You know, who knows? Like they're third and they're fourth and eight. Excuse me, at the 8-yard line,
getting a little
and
choked
then they
up.
Penalty and they don't go for it on 4th and 13. Who knows how that goes? And so our fans brought the energy, brought the passion, brought the juice, and like I said, that's my answer to that.
Oh no!
Metaphorically, hey. They whipped his ass after that game. The owner.
Hey, man, I ain't gonna
like
lie.
A badass kid with his mom, bro.
Look man, you listen to D-Lo and KC. You listen to ESPN 1320. We got running back coming up. I think we got baseball coming. Listen to ESPN 13, but I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm gonna need to listen to WIP. Hey, I'm gonna need to know what these people talk about. Matthew, if you're listening again, call in. I need to know what these people are talking about. This guy, because he looked like he might have got stopped on the street. Like somebody
man,
pulled up on him.
That man,
he got in trouble.
somebody pulled up on him at the light. Like, hey, bro, what you say?
They grabbed that man as he was walking off that podium. Hey, kids, stay here. I'm going to talk to old dad for a couple minutes.
He said, I need to be coaching, motivating, and celebrating. All right, bro, throw that on a pillow.
This guy said, well, actually, what I was trying to do was I was trying to motivate. Sir, you're in victory formation. The game's over. What are we doing?
It's time to wind down. We won. It's over.
Oh, man.
That was tough.
That is the look of a man who got his ass whooped. As Cole G says, he's on his final written warning.
Went from, yeah, happy to get the win yesterday to, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm disappointed.
He went straight from citation to demerit.
Oh, man.
Get a lineup, too, bro.
No, more important. Is this press conference happening outside? Why does it look like the sun is in his eyes the entire time that he's talking?
This guy. This guy, look, man, sometimes when we talk about Nick Sirianni, you know, the nice guy in me is like, man, he ain't hurt nobody. Like, we always talk about him. Like, man, we should probably leave him alone. But then he does stuff like he does yesterday. And it's like, no, he deserves all the criticism. He behaves like a jackass.
Oh, he's not even going out the road like the opposing team's fans anymore. He's going at his own people.
For being right.
Yes.
You were right. That was anemic. Your offense is anemic. You're playing one of the worst teams in football, and you can't even get more than 10 points in the first half. It was embarrassing. They were right.
Greg's got it right here. Mom said you marched your butt back in there and you apologized.
Oh, man. I'm
looking boy, oh, boy.
Searching Nick Sirianni's name on Twitter is amazing.
He's going to be a quality control coach somewhere next year.
Does he even get that?
That's what I'm saying. He's not going to be a coordinator. He'll be like an assistant head coach or something like that. These are my favorite type of memes right here.
Oh, Sirianni, please do something. Guys, look, I shaved my head.
Oh, man, he is terrible.
Oh.
He is absolutely awful.
Nah, he was awful. He always is. I saw that yesterday. I said, come on, man.
Oh, man, that is comedy.
Jeez.
Absolute comedy.
They're 3-2, though.
But they got the win, yep.
Everybody keeps saying, like, oh, they're 3-2, they're sleeping. No, they're not. They're not. Step above the Cowboys.
We talked about it a couple weeks ago. They can have a winning season, but it's all going to be because in spite of Nick Sirianni. They have talent, but it's just you're going to have to overcome your coach.
They have talent, but they got some offensive talent. They don't have that much talent on the defensive end. Like, they're not that good.
They're not the best team in their division. I know that.
Mm-mm.
Nah, that goes to the football team who, man, they took a tough loss today. The game of the week lived up to the hype.
The Ravens and Commanders, it was good. It was a good game. I never thought the Ravens were in danger of losing that game, though.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't think so. I know the score got to one score and all that. It's like, Ravens will figure it out.
I think the game was everything that we might have wanted it to be, though. Coming out of it, it's like, all right, like, Washington's legit. Like, Jaden Daniels is legit and all that. It's not where it's like, oh, you guys ran into a good team finally and they stunk it up or whatever.
Yeah, I thought they played. I mean, Derrick Henry was incredible. The big loss is that the football team lost John Allen for the year.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about if you were buying into that team, you're buying into that defense, he was going to be a big reason why. So to lose him for the year is pretty tough.
And right now that is kind of, even before he went down, that is kind of their Achilles heel. They're not that strong on the defense.
Yeah, not as good.
They can kind of be pushed around.
That's where a lot of people were hanging their hat before the season, is what they thought that group could do defensively. They're far from bad. But I don't know that anyone saw that kid being what he has shown he can be. And I don't know who saw Derrick Henry just taking his place as still the best running back in the league with the Baltimore Ravens, and that's what he's doing.
It's one of those things where, you know, the being in that situation with the Ravens has lightened his responsibility, and it's made his job easier. When you're saying, hey, you're on the Titans, and we need you to be the driving force for our offense and be old school Derrick Henry every week for us to have a chance to win. Yeah, he's not there no more. But when you get to Baltimore and you're with somebody like Lamar, and it's really just like, hey, change of pace, you know, help out. He excels in that. He's overqualified for something like that. And he's continuing to have a great season so far.
That might be the move that gets them over the hump in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl finally.
Could be.
Might be.
It could be. I saw something. Oh, man. I got to. I'm going to pull it up real quick. They call it vamping sometimes when you're trying to find something. But they talked about Lamar Jackson. And they said Lamar Jackson basically has defeated everybody. Like, basically has beat everybody except for one guy. But they talk about, they named all the quarterbacks. I'm trying to. There it goes. So Lamar Jackson has, and this is what he did this year.
Okay.
He's beaten Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow,
Jaden Daniels in four consecutive games. 10 touchdowns, 1,245 yards in those games.
Okay.
And basically, it's him. Like, he's the one, and the term that was used is, only thing he needs to do is beat the final boss at this point. Mm. And that's the one thing he hasn't been able to do, yeah, is beat the final boss. But I think Lamar, it's almost like Patrick Mahomes. We always talk about he's on another level.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lamar's on a separate level. And then I think it's the rest of these other quarterbacks.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree.
He is. And you can't say it because the accolades aren't there. But I would make the argument it's Patrick Mahomes and Lamar on another level. Like, I think Lamar is as good as Patrick Mahomes, and those two are on their own level together. Mm. And then it's the other ones. I think he's that good.
I'd be a little bit. He doesn't have the accolades. Fight that. Yeah,
he hasn't beat him. He don't have the accolades, so it's hard to make that argument. But
I'd be more comfortable with the idea, which is, I think, the thing that we've been saying for the last couple of years is there's the Patrick Mahomes level, there's the Lamar Jackson level, and then there's everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to put them both on the same level, I'm good with that. I don't think I would.
Is Lamar just missing the Super Bowl at this point?
Just a tier below.
Yeah.
It's just a drop below. There's not a drastic difference between those two, so I wouldn't fight it. And yes.
Would you say
all he's missing?
Maybe this isn't the same type of argument, but would you say in their heyday, Brady and Manning were on the same level?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what we're talking about right here. And Manning didn't have the Super Bowl. Like, this is before he got the Super Bowl, basically, is what I'm making an argument. But he was still, it was Brady and it was Manning. Mm-hmm. And then everybody
else. Those two, I think, were easier to compare to each other. I think people have a really difficult time comparing Lamar Jackson to any other quarterback. Like, there are people that we know who still don't think Lamar Jackson is very good,
mm-hmm,
because they don't know how to compute everything that he does and the effect that he has on the offense, thus against the defense that they're going against, because they don't know how to equate that or at least comp it to what Patrick Mahomes does solely as a quarterback. Patrick Mahomes can move around.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes is the absolute best at his position, and there's no conversation about it. There likely won't be a conversation about it until Patrick Mahomes decides he doesn't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
But with Brady and Manning, you were talking to traditional quarterbacks,
right,
who were great at different things, but great in everything that had to do with being a traditional quarterback. These two guys, like, Patrick does everything great as a traditional quarterback, but he has a few wild cards to him as well. Lamar is less great as a traditional quarterback, but everything else that he does, well, goes to what you were just, makes him one of one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people have a hard time evaluating Lamar Jackson.
All right, and the Matthews,
especially when you're comping him to a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. In the Matthews mattress, Chatty House, our guy, Rich could be anywhere. Big Chiefs fan. And, you know.
Rich hates Lamar.
We got issues this week, Rich. Yeah. We got issues this week. Even though, shout out to LSU, big time win on Saturday night. That was some good stuff. Wish we don't have to be there one of those days. But he says, I disagree. We do this every time Lamar has a few good games in a row. Then Lamar goes out and has a bad few weeks. And we talk
Lamar about Lamar has won two MVPs. I just want to point that out. Yeah. He was the best player in the National Football League last year. Just want to point that out.
Lamar, and like the argument that I just made, and you laid out maybe why it doesn't happen the same way. We never did this, at least that I can remember, we never did this with Brady and Manning. And Manning wasn't winning nothing. He'd get embarrassed every time the Patriots went up against him in the playoffs. And we didn't say Brady's just on another tier of Manning. We looked at them as the two, and they were on the same tier. And I think that's the same thing that I do. I can't speak for anybody else. That's the same thing that I do right now with these two, with Mahomes and Lamar. But to your point, they're different type of quarterbacks traditionally, and they're kind of different from each other. You know what I mean? Like they like you laid out, Mahomes has the traditional aspect to him, and he's got wild cards. Lamar is a little bit more wild card, but has more traditional quarterback than he probably gets credit for.
Nah, but let's talk about consistency for a second. Patrick Mahomes on the season, 69% completion percentage. Lamar Jackson, 67. Boy, what a fall off that is. Let's go to last year. Patrick Mahomes, 67% is his completion percentage. Actually, let's go a step further. 67.2 is Patrick Mahomes' completion percentages last year. Lamar Jackson, 67.2 was his completion percentage last year. Y'all need to stop listening to these talking heads on ESPN and look a few things up for yourself.
I think
y'all recycling the same tired-ass talking points that make no sense with no analytical background. Absolutely none. Rich, I love you. We know Patrick Mahomes is your guy. You've hated Lamar from jump. We understand. I've got a guy I want to connect you with. His name is Paul. You guys will love each other. You guys are a match made in heaven. Go ahead, Jesse.
I think we got to change how we look at quarterbacks, too, because, like Rich says that he's been a great athlete. Like, all the stuff that Lamar does is part of being a good quarterback, too. He's doing it at the quarterback position. Like, that's all part of it. It's the evolution of the position.
He just laid out how accurate of a passer the guy
is. Yeah.
Like, on a consistent basis. Lamar Jackson, once again, I disagree, Rich. Lamar Jackson is a great quarterback. He is not just a great athlete. He is a great quarterback. He delivers, like I asked to see from Caleb Williams. We'll talk about him later, too. But he delivers on the run. He delivers from the pocket. He delivers under duress. He makes all the passes you need him to make.
Led the league in passing touchdowns 1 year, too.
Oh, no. I'm on.
But he's just not very good, guys. We'll come back. What do we got coming up? Talk a little college football. Whatever we missed in the NFL, we'll get back to the Kings. Also, we'll talk some more about the young guys, one of which I had some thoughts on. But he's a San Antonio Spur now, so it doesn't really matter. It's Stephen and Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Don't even get me started. Like, that's one of the worst arguments. I'm not going to do it because we're back on the regular show. Don't even get me started with the best fight, the best in UFC and all that. Stop, bro. Because as soon as Conor decides he wants to come back, he'll get a title shot. That ain't the best fight in the best. That bum loses all the time.
Conor ain't never coming back because he can't stay healthy through a camp.
Or,
that man ain't fighting.
I was going to say something else. I ain't trying to get sued.
Allegedly. You say allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. Can't stay clean through a camp.
Well.
Allegedly. Yeah. But the best fight, the best. The second Conor says, I want to fight, he will be in a title fight. And this guy's like, he's lost four of his last five fights. Best fight, the best. Stop it. Stop.
Speaking of the best, our girl Kimberly is in here watching at home. She's cleaning up her house, watching us on the big screen TV. I always love when we get pictures of people watching us on big screen TVs.
Yeah.
It's like we're on TV. It's kind of fire. That's kind of fire.
Sometimes Jazz will send me pictures of Ryan watching us on TV.
Mm-hmm. Which one? Have so many of them.
It just depends on where they're at. If they're upstairs, it'll be in the loft. If they're downstairs, it's the main one.
Well, Ryan, of course, has her own TV because what baby shouldn't
she
have a
does.
Television?
She does. And right now, she's really locked in on Ada Twist, on Trolls, and then a new one that she really likes is Peppa Pig.
Trolls is a big time in your house, huh?
Oh, Trolls is, yeah, definitely. That's her movie. That's the go-to. Trolls is fire, too, though. So there's always little things that you pick up from that movie every now and then. And then they had a random part in there where they were trying to figure one of the trolls out or whatever. And the guy, Tiny Diamond, he goes, the real question is, are you a narc?
Oh, my gosh.
Just random. Like, that's the little stuff they be throwing in the little kids' movies. Like,
for Ryan. Adults.
Yeah, and we just, me and Jazz just crack up.
Well, like in Shrek, didn't the cat once drop, like, the weed or something like that?
Hey, Shrek is for us.
Yeah, Shrek is
an all-timer.
The reason why Tiny Diamond asked that is because he's smoking. Well, he's not smoking. It's a pacifier, and it's basically like weed. He gets some high. He's asked Branch, like, hey, man, you want some of this? I got some for you. And Branch's like, no, I can't do that. So, yeah, he's a drug pusher. Tiny Diamond is a drug pusher.
Them kids shows, bro. They be on one. My goodness.
Tiny Diamond played by Keenan. Voice is Keenan.
Keenan Thompson?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good. Very good. We'll get back to the Kings here in just a heartbeat. We'll touch on a couple of the other things in the NFL, a couple of things that happened over the weekend. Bucks put up 51 in a very odd game against New Orleans. Mm. Baker had four. My boy had four touchdowns and three interceptions.
Didn't he throw for crazy yards, too?
The Bucks were up 17. Then they were down 20-17. Then they were down 27-24. And then they wound up winning 51-27. An absolutely bizarre game between Baker, who threw for 325. He was 24-36 for 325. He couldn't stop throwing interceptions. Spencer Rattler?
Yeah.
Yeah, he
that was a weird game because it looked like he was cooking in the first half, and I don't know if the Bucks did something or whatever it was. It was complete 180 the second
game,
half.
The game was weird.
Yeah.
It was just a weird game.
And I think watching this game, seeing how it played out, sorry to my cousin Verdell, one of my favorite cousins, but I think we can the Saints ain't it, man.
Yeah.
They're not it. I don't even think that's a playoff team. They're 2-4 now.
Oh, really? Wow.
They're 2-4 now. I'm not saying the season isn't over, but I don't look at them.
Well, I mean, it's going to be tough with Derek. I mean, it was looking a little rough with Derek Carr, but it's probably going to be significantly tougher without him. And given the fact that Atlanta kind of settled things down, that game probably was a little more than it needed to be for the first half, or at least for part of the first half. Against Carolina, like Atlanta starting, feels like your guys' predictions on Atlanta is starting to kind of take shape here a little bit.
Well, and then they got Kirk Cousins out here. He's, you know, swag surfing. That's the thing this year. He's in Atlanta. He's next thing you know, he's going to be in Magic City.
Yep. Lemon pepper wet, iced tea.
But yeah, I think Atlanta's a good team. Like, I kind of joked about
Kirk
it.
Cousins going to get to Magic City before we did. That's a damn shame.
That's a damn shame. Atlanta's cool. I joked about it.
The thing with Atlanta is I think they could actually get a little better.
Where do you see that at? Just Kirk getting more comfortable or something?
Yeah, that offense finding its groove a little bit because they still look, I don't know, this is hiccupy. Like they still look they look disjointed at times. Like if it just kind of levels out, like I think they could get a little bit better.
So,
and take advantage of games like Carolina.
We joked about it a little bit earlier. I joked about it a little bit earlier, but you know they had the Sunday off essentially with no 49ers playing. You just get an opportunity to look around the league and not that there aren't other good teams or the Niners are just the top. They're not the top right now. They're 3-3. But as somebody that scouts, you know, and gives I give my notes and everything back to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. When this show's over, I got to, you know, send them the email. The NFC's just still right there. The NFC's just right there for it. I don't see anybody that – it's just like, man, I don't know. I don't know about them. Detroit was close. Now you got to figure, you got to wonder what they look like without Hutchinson. The offense is still going to be dynamic.
It's going to be tough. Yeah, no, that's tough, though.
You know, you lose a guy like that, you know, that it's like you talked about with the Rams. Like, you don't just lose Aaron Donald and, it's just business as usual.
Yeah,
like,
right.
There's going to be, at the very least, an adjustment period to the defense. So I like Detroit. I like Washington. I like Atlanta. I think Tampa Bay is really good, too.
I think Tampa Bay is the one to watch.
Yeah. I
can see them making a run to the NFC Championship.
Tampa Bay's good, but the one question
y'all haven't said Minnesota once? Just don't buy it?
I'm letting Kate Kenny go, but...
Well, nah, I was just thinking about who played yesterday. So Minnesota...
Oh, I got you. Okay.
But, yeah, Minnesota. I think Minnesota's good, but I also... All right, Minnesota. Like, they're good. Like...
Are they the Steelers from 2 years ago?
They're legit. Minnesota's
a little better than that. But I'm going to tell you right now, I still think Detroit's better than Minnesota. I think Detroit's better. I think Detroit's still winning that division. Minnesota's good, but I think Detroit's a better team.
If we're talking just teams that can get the Niners in the playoffs right now, I think it's Detroit and Minnesota, and then I'm watching Tampa Bay. If the Niners don't fix up their defensive issues this season, and it's just kind of like, all right, we need Brock in the offense to kind of carry us through, like, I think the Bucs can hang 40 on that defense. Like, Bucs offense, I think, is really strong.
I might be
ahead of myself with the Bucs. I admit that, but I really like what they got going on. Defense kind of scares me, but
we'll see. And that's kind of how
it would have to be a shootout for them to get the 49ers. Is what I'm saying.
That's how I kind of look at
which you can get the 49ers in.
Yeah,
and I don't think that's the way to beat the 49ers. Not in a shootout. The way to beat the 49ers is with a strong defense.
See, but if the 49ers like aren't finishing in the red zone still, or just going through whatever problems, like if it's one of those games, like I could see the Bucs getting them there.
True, but if my thought on how the 49ers lose, you know, in those playoff settings, is if you are keeping Kyle Shanahan from being able to do what he wants to do because your defense is so elite. I think back to like the Browns game last year when the Browns just stifled that 49ers offense, and it was difficult for them to get into a groove. Mm-hmm. If you get into a shootout with the 49ers, the Ravens did the same thing on Christmas night. If you get into a high scoring game with the 49ers and you can't stop Kyle Shanahan from doing what he wants to do, running the ball, play action, just having control of the offense, they're not unbeatable. But I think more times than not, they're gonna prevail. The Chiefs last year started to defend, and that's, you got to have the defense. And that's where I look at this NFC, and I don't see a defense that can do that. Minnesota's is close. And Minnesota already got them once. I'd like to see them again against Minnesota. But outside of Minnesota, I don't know if anybody has the defense that scares me as a 49er fan. And Jesse may be right the entire time, but I think the way to beat the 49ers, you've got to stop them on offense, make them one-dimensional, stop the run game. I don't see anybody defensively that can do that right now.
I think that might have been the case the last few years, but I think it's different this year. The Niners, I think they're a different team as far as how they run this year, I think. Mm. And Keaton Riley in the chat, he's right. Still got to mention, no Packers.
Well, that's where I was going.
They took
next.
Care of Arizona yesterday. Oh. I've been in on the Packers all season. So
there is one team I didn't see a single second of, and when I saw the daily leaders, I was highly confused. I didn't see Chicago play yesterday.
I know.
I watched Chicago. Hey, they tore it up. They tore it up.
Caleb is starting to get his groove.
Yes, they tore it up.
Game's starting to slow down.
When I saw Caleb Williams, like a league leader, and like I was like, what day did he play on? I completely missed the stupid-ass 6:30 game.
Here's a hot take, and I apologize for who said that.
You said Caleb sucked.
I did not say that.
Didn't he say something like that?
Both of you, stop. No, I think you. Jesse, don't go down that road with him.
He didn't say he sucked, but he wasn't sure about him being a quarterback because he couldn't stand in the pocket and this, and that.
You hated Caleb.
Now, full transparency.
I heard you hate black quarterbacks.
Well, are you out of it? I just said Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes are on their own level.
Patrick Mahomes is black? That's a callback. Sorry. My bad. Ask Kyle Mattson.
But I did say I was concerned about that. And to be fair, the last couple of weeks has been just what the doctor ordered for a rookie quarterback. So there's that. But I did say I'm a believe in his talent, and I think he'll figure it out. But I was concerned about that. I still am. I still want to see it on another level, but he'd been cooking. The game is slowed down for Caleb.
I feel like they took the training wheels off of him a bit. That offense, that entire offense, I'll say.
That could be the case too, but he's been cooking as of late. He looks really, really good. But here's the hot take. Packers going to finish last in that division.
That's not the hottest take, is it?
I mean,
someone has to. It's the Vikings, the Lions.
It's a hot take if just considering all the hype around the Packers going into this season. And the Packers are still playing good football right now, too.
I'm not impressed by the Packers. I want to watch this game a little bit more. I watched it only on the red zone. I want to watch this game in its entirety-ish because it's the condensed version. But I want to see them to see if there's something that makes me change my mind about them. But I think they're a solid team. I don't think they're a top-flight team. I don't think they're better than Detroit or Minnesota. I don't think they're better than Tampa Bay. I think they're maybe on par with Atlanta. on par with Washington. I don't think they're better than the 49ers.
I think they're on par with the 49ers.
Okay. I don't know. I guess I still don't see that as a hot take. All you're really saying is you think Chicago will be better, which I don't think is crazy.
Well, and then
well, what do you think last place?
Like all four. You said last place in the division, right?
Yeah. Well, how many wins do you think last place gets in that division, though?
Like, you could make the playoffs.
You could. I don't know if they will, though.
Okay.
I don't know if they will. They you could. You could get all four teams in there. But here's the thing. Like, I don't. I think they're. How many division games have they played already? Is it just the one against Minnesota?
You're asking about Green Bay.
Yeah.
Give me a second.
That's. So that's what.
Yeah, they're 0-1 in the division right now.
I think they're going to be like 1-5.
So you just don't think they're good then?
I don't think they're as good as those teams. I don't think they're as good as the other teams in the NFC. Or I don't think they're better than them, I should say. Like, they'll be competitive. They ain't going to get blown out by those guys. But I think Minnesota going to beat them again at home. I think Detroit beats them at least once. And I think Chicago gets them at least once.
Well, they're going to have they got a tough one this week with Houston. They got Jacksonville, and then they're going to get into this stretch where they'll have Detroit, the bye week, Chicago, and San Francisco in a 3-week period.
Mm. Mm. Like I said, I think the Packers are good. Like I think they're a good team.
You got to beat either Detroit or Chicago though.
Yeah,
you got to get one of them.
Now, and I think they split with one of those. I think Minnesota beats them again when they play them. I think they.
Well, that's the second to last week of the season. That's week 17. Mm. They'll end against Chicago.
You said last game is against Chicago? Last game of the season?
Correct.
That might be for a playoff spot.
Okay.
That might be for a playoff spot.
Okay. I don't know. I guess I don't feel like that's a hot take.
And Jesse also pointed out that's also factoring in the expectations people had for the Packers. I saw a lot of number one seeds in the NFC, and Jordan Love is him and all this other stuff. Jordan Love, a good quarterback. Still want to see a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay.
I think the division definitely gets three teams in the playoffs, though.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Atlanta might be the team who gets that other spot or whatever, if not for all four teams in that division, but... I think teams at least get a playoff spot.
Yeah, that might wind up being Tampa Bay. And
that means one. Philly don't make it, huh?
No, it's a damn shame what happened to Philly. It's a damn shame what happened to Philly.
Yeah, yesterday was bad for the Eagles, I think.
But they won, though.
I mean,
like
for Sirianni, and the I don't want to say for this. The vibes, but it's like you're already arguing with fans and all that.
But look at this, though. They've got the Giants next.
But they're not playing good football. They got the Browns and like that. Didn't even go the way you wanted it to.
They've got your Cincinnati Bengals.
That's not true.
The Jaguars. They've got the Dallas freaking Cowboys after that. They're not.
They had the Cleveland Browns, though, this week, and they didn't look good.
I hear you.
And you can't give them the benefit of the doubt.
They beat the Saints 15-12. That's crazy. That's crazy.
That ended up maybe saying a lot about both teams. We were trying to figure out at the time what that meant.
Yeah.
Said a little bit about both teams.
That's facts. Right. The Eagles this year have scored 34 points. And was that in Brazil?
Yeah.
21, 15, 16, and 20.
They just got A.J. Brown back, so... Maybe. And Devonta Smith played. What, he missed 2 weeks?
Yeah, he was out for a couple weeks. Wow. A.J. Brown was out since after the first game.
Aldrin's right. The Eagles would be 0-5 if Saquon Barkley signed somewhere else.
Yeah, it's fast.
And Sirianni would already be fired.
Yeah. I will say this. It's hard for me to say the Eagles won't make the playoffs. You talk about the schedule that they have.
Yeah.
They have talented players.
They still got the Rams on the schedule. Is this the Eagles? They still got the Rams on the schedule. They still got the Panthers on the schedule.
Do the people in the NFC North kind of beat each other up and you ended up only getting two playoff teams because of that?
I don't know. I guess it's possible.
Green Bay and Minnesota are the only teams that have played each other in that division, too. Chicago has no divisional game yet that they played, and neither is Detroit.
Let's look at the Packers schedule just for fun. Texans, Jaguars, Lions. We just looked at theirs. Let's look at somebody else's. Let's try Minnesota.
That's an interesting one.
Minnesota, obviously coming off the bye. Right out the gate, it's Detroit.
That's on Sunday?
That's probably your marquee game this weekend is Detroit and Minnesota.
Sunday, 10 a.m.
Then you've got, you got the Rams, Colts, Jaguars, and Titans in a four-week stretch.
That might go 15-2.
Wow. And then you've got Chicago. Then you've got the Cardinals, the Falcons, the Bears, again, and then Seahawks, Packers, and then the Lions to close it out.
Do we I know we all think Minnesota's good. We agree on that. Do we think they're like number one seed good?
Yeah. The defense is legit. Justin Jefferson's the best receiver in the league. Aaron Jones is on the ball.
So you're talking about like they're going to get like three losses on the season.
But yeah, I think they're very capable. Yeah. We just went over their schedule. Like they're good enough to do that. What they do once they get there, that's the big question that everybody's unsure of. But could they get to be a three-loss team and be the one seed? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I like the Vikings. I think they're legit.
It's probably, I think, Philly and Atlanta compete for that last playoff spot. Philly, Atlanta, and Chicago, I think.
So the Packers are out.
Packers, no. I think I got three teams in the NFC North making it. It'll be the Packers and Vikings, Lions as the two wild card teams, and then Falcons, Eagles, and we'll say the Bears fighting for that last spot, I think. Seahawks, they'll be around, but I don't buy
that's
it.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Seahawks will be around they'll be around the lottery.
Like you guys can be even in the graphic.
Even though they don't have a lottery in the NFL, they'll be around there. Seahawks aren't good. Seahawks aren't good whatsoever. The Niners, it would be a major disappointment.
I'd be shocked if they didn't win the division, the Niners.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Because I don't think any of the other teams are ready. I like what the Cardinals are doing a little bit, but you saw how it is. They need to take care of the football themselves, and they need the other team to beat themselves to have an opportunity. If that doesn't happen, they just don't have the horses on the defensive end. Seattle's okay, but their defense is kind of suspect.
They'll be around. The graphics and all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
That's fine. I'm interested. I'm interested in what happens with the Rams if they can get these guys back in time to make a push. To make a push at a wild card, and maybe like the way the division is set up, they might still be able to make a push at the division.
Who?
The Rams. They got four losses. It is the same argument I made for the 49ers. Like everybody's just kind of there.
Yeah, but I just don't think the Rams are good enough.
They might not be, but they also haven't played with their two top receivers. That's what I'm saying. If they can be in this situation they're in right now, like two games back, and get those two back, maybe.
You're going to have to go on a run, though, if you're the Rams. I don't see that happening.
I understand.
It's the cause and effect. Like, is Stafford struggling because his guys aren't there, or is this just where we're at with Matt Stafford? Now, mind you, I'm a Matt Stafford fan. I think he's a very good quarterback, but also, like, my man's 36. Mm-hmm. I know we're normalizing guys playing till 38, 39, 40. Until a dozen guys in the league are doing it at a time, that's not normal. Right. Like, he's on the other side, as they say. Mm-hmm. And he's been pretty banged up. He's been pretty roughed up in you know, since winning the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He pushed a lady off a stage, for God's sake.
That was crazy. That was crazy. You know, so I'm looking at the standings right now and all the plus minuses and stuff like that. You got Philly at a minus -6. You've got Seattle at a minus -4. The Rams.
Just the point differential?
Yeah, Rams at a minus -45. Oh, the Panthers are at minus -100.
Well, Jesus, really?
Looking like the Chicago White Sox.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
Minus 100.
Oh, my gosh. Their net touchdowns is negative -13. That is incredible.
They've given up 203 points. The next closest team is Jacksonville at 178.
For context, the next worst is Jacksonville at net touchdowns. They're negative -9. And the Cowboys?
That's crazy.
Cowboys are negative -8.
Oh, Cowboys are minus -42. They got stomped out twice.
Negative -100 is crazy.
Think about that, though. The Cowboys got stomped out twice, and they're still, 58 points away from the Panthers?
If they didn't come back in garbage time against the Ravens, too, imagine how much worse it'd be.
Oh, man. That is rough.
Oh,
that is rough.
Boy, oh, boy.
James Hamm is going to join us.
Hammer
made a trade today for no one. They did make a trade. They just, no one came back.
That's it.
But I don't think any Kings fan who watched basketball over the course of the last 6 days or so is shedding any tears. We'll talk about it when James Hamm joins us next on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. You want to touch on anything college football related before? Because I want to listen to Mike Brown here, who spoke earlier today.
Just another great week. Just another great week. I mean, it was built up to be one of the greatest Saturdays, if not the greatest Saturday in college football.
We got a good one coming up.
We do.
Yeah,
we do.
We got Tennessee in a big one.
Yeah, Texas and Georgia.
Georgia. Yeah.
That's a big one.
What's the kid's name? Not Arch.
Oh,
they were like, yeah, no, he's back. Yeah. I was like, wow, they really, I didn't think they were going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, no, he's back.
Nah, it was supposed, last week was supposed to be, you know, this great one. And some of the earlier, like USC was supposed to be better. So that was supposed to be like an undefeated matchup with them in Penn State. End up being a great game anyway. Kansas State, Colorado was a great game. Dang, man, my Buffaloes couldn't pull that one out.
If they won that one, bro, they would have been legit too, I think. They would have got some respect finally.
Yeah, they would have been ranked for sure.
Yeah.
So that was tough. Did you see the Oregon Ohio State finish and like what people are talking about happened with, I forgot the coach's name.
I saw the end of the game.
So they were saying how did it play out? Because I saw it. Later, I wasn't watching it in real time.
You talking about the last play of the game?
The last play and the play before. So what happened was the play before the last play, there's 10 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying the coach for Oregon intentionally puts a 12th man on the field. They hike the ball, flag goes up, the play is ran, and like it's a 5-yard penalty. Like the play, whatever you get is what you get, or the 5-yard penalty. Basically, the time is gone regardless. It doesn't matter. The time is what's gone regardless.
Okay.
And he's like, I'll take the 5 yards. I don't care. You're 35 yards out. I'd rather you be 40 yards out with 2 seconds as opposed to I'm just going to have 11 guys out there with 10 seconds to go. He put another guy out there intentionally, and they said it worked in his favor because I think 4 or 5 seconds went off the clock. They didn't have a timeout. The guy tried to scramble, and, you know, we saw what happened there. But I don't think anybody's asked him yet, but the way it played out Because he did that on purpose.
It was one of those Belichick type things where they take like the penalty or whatever. On special teams, usually they'll do it. Vrabel does it. Belichick.
But how's that not a dead ball penalty? If you have 12 on the field.
Because it's a free play.
I don't understand.
It's a free play. So on a free play, like the down goes over, you take the yards, but the time don't
go back. So if 10 seconds had run off, then what?
Game would have been over. Or no, you can't end on a defensive penalty. So they would have had one more play.
That's right, you can't end on a defensive
penalty. It was the 4 seconds went off. Like you can't, even if you decline.
So did the kid think that he had 10 seconds on the last play of the game?
Well, I think he knew. It was just.
He just decided to slide?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, Oregon just put him in a tough spot basically where they couldn't.
It's a $20 million payroll, and you decided to slide.
And that poor guy had a brain fart.
But, yeah. It was
Ryan
was interesting.
Day Sirianni over there on the sidelines.
Ryan Day's got one more game now. Can't lose one more.
Well, then that one got crazy because coach at Oregon, I got to remember dude's name, but he went up after the game. He was all hyped. Like, he was like, yeah, let's go. All this other stuff with his coaches. And then he, like, rolled up on the quarterback and, like, chest out, stared him down, stayed around. I said, why is he? Did you see that, Jesse?
Do you want Georgia's coach?
No. Well, that was another one. Georgia's coach pushed the guy.
Oh, there was two instances then.
No, the Oregon coach did that.
I didn't see that one. Yeah, I didn't see that one. I was watching that game, too.
Yeah, around the Ohio State quarterback. And then stares him down. And I was like, what is going on in college football? And then, like I said, LSU Ole Miss was a fantastic finish. Like, that was a great game. I stayed with that. I thought that the end of that game was going to be real quick, and then I was going to watch the end of Sac State, which ended up losing. Mm. Homecoming this weekend, by the way, everybody.
Well, I heard D'Lo. Well,
what time? Well,
we'll just wait. But I'm hearing. Let's just wait.
Let's just see what Andy says.
Who knows? If y'all need us, our services are available.
But that Ole Miss. LSU game was a fantastic finish. So college football was it was said before the season. I was like, all right, you guys just hyping it up because of 12-team playoff. Nah, this might be the greatest season, college football season I've ever seen. We're only halfway through, and it just every week.
Shout out conference realignment.
Yeah. There it goes.
Here's Mike Brown. James Hamm's going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. The Kings traded James McDaniels and a second-round pick to San Antonio. For absolutely nothing. Here's Mike Brown. We'll talk to James about that in just minutes.
Yeah.
Mike. because they mentioned some of that fatigue last night. I mean, did you kind of see some of the same things in terms of them not having the legs under them?
I don't know. It's, you know, it's preseason. You're fighting to get back in shape. It's probably more the day off before, because you know the two games we played, nobody's played more than 20 minutes. We had a day off the day before, and maybe they are tired. I hope not. That's a little scary, you know. But I think it might be more maybe mental fatigue, because these guys are like high caliber athletes, you know, and we haven't practiced them too hard. Even our last contact practice, I pulled Malik and Fox and Domas out of the contact practice, so they haven't had a contact practice in a while, you know, in practice. Now they played 20 minutes in games. Last night it was up to 27 minutes or whatever, but maybe if he says they are, then I guess they are. But I would, without talking to them, I would assume it's more mental fatigue than anything else.
Realizing you only had really one practice with Kevin back since he's been cleared for contact, I'm just curious, like, is it a goal to try to get him into one of these preseason games?
Question,
or is that
Sean.
Too ambitious?
No, I'm not even thinking about that. So he hasn't, we haven't had contact yet. Like, now I don't even know if he played in the next game we have in the next.
Hang on, Mike. Let's be clear what just happened. Sean said, is there a chance or is it too far-fetched to think that Kevin Herter could play in the next two preseason games? Mm-hmm. And Mike says, I haven't thought about that. God damn it.
Next game that is with our young guys that don't play much. I wasn't down here for that, so I don't even know if he's in that. I do know he's played one-on-one, I think, with the coaches. And so he's got some steps he's got to go through. So I, as you can tell, I'm not even tracking when he's going to be back. I'm waiting for them to tell me he can play. And when they do.
Mike, what is happening right now?
He said he's not even tracking it.
Mike, told us on Saturday. Is this the wrong clip? Am I playing the wrong clip?
Mike said, I don't know. I'm just out there with that.
This has to be from the other day. No, this was from 1 minute ago. Jesus Christ.
Mike said, I don't know. What have they told you?
Mike!
He said, I think he's played with some of the coaches and everything. I don't know him.
When I tell you that man hates Kevin Huerter, this is what I'm talking about right here. That man's... Mike, they sent us a press release on Saturday. I got it. Mike, I'll forward it to you.
Yeah, it's news to me. I don't know anything.
Oh.
Mike said, I don't know. He played Jay Triano one-on-one the other day.
Oh, my God, man.
Same thing with Trey. We saw him out here taking shots. Like, where's Trey at this point?
Yeah, kind of same thing. I don't even know. I don't even know if Trey's playing one-on-one with coaches and stuff like that. So,
is Mike around the channel? Is Mike around the Kings at all?
I can't.
What's the plan this week on the road for the preseason games? Do you plan on playing in?
Yeah, hopefully, you know, both these games we can get through a whole game with them. If not both, at least one. You know,
so part of the question got cut off. I don't even know what he asked him.
Season, I thought he asked him about
that. I'm not pressed to do it at the end of the day.
The final two preseason games, like the rotations and stuff. And Mike said he's thinking about trying to get the rotational guys.
Okay. I thought he said two, because he was like, yeah, I want to get them out there. Like, who's them?
Hey,
all right, I'm done with this. I can't. I'm just.
This is my new favorite Mike Brown media availability.
I'm done with this interview. I'm so perplexed. I'm so freaking confused by
Mike. What's going on with Trey? I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know nothing about none of the players.
Mike has no clue what's going on. Look, Mike, can you direct me to someone who would know? I thought you'd be the perfect place to go.
He said, Mike, what's going on with Trey Lyles?
Question.
I don't know.
Does he know there was a trade today? Because one of Sean's tweets earlier, Jay was at practice.
He
went through all the practice.
Damn.
Man got pulled aside, said, hey, pack your bags, kid. You're headed to San Antonio.
The same thing that happened when he learned he got to Sacramento.
Take this second round pick with you.
It was a workout, and his trainer was like, hey, you just got traded.
A word? So now in defense of this, Germs, he probably couldn't. They, because if it might not be final, they can't ask. Right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.